Hello, this is Irene Bullard. I'll be reading the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Tuesday, February 5th. Let's begin on the front page. Calvary students fund playground in Uganda. Normal school comes together to help kids 8,000 miles away. Students at Calvary Christian Academy in Normal have gone 7 months without playground equipment after an accidental fire set theirs ablaze. Before January, students at Shalom Community School in Mugona South outside Bugiri, Uganda had never seen playground equipment. As a school-wide Christmas project, the Calvary students resolved to help these students living 8,000 miles away and started a coin drive to raise money to buy playground equipment such as a slide, swing set, and a merry-go-round for the school. I am not surprised that our students were motivated by their own adversity to help a group of students that they have never met, nor likely will ever meet. These kids are the greatest, said Aaron Whistler, principal at Calvary Christian Academy in Normal. Because of the fire over the summer, the new Calvary playground won't be ready until April. Marcia Grabo, a Calvary parent who works with an organization called Upwards Uganda, helped the school come together to raise money. Each day, the students were challenged to bring in a different coin. Pennies on Monday, nickels on Tuesday, and so on. They filled jars in every classroom and reached $1,210 at the end of the week-long effort. The original plan was to buy three pieces for the playground, but Russ Kinzinger, founder of Upwards Uganda, said the Calvary students exceeded his expectations and were like flies to honey, pushing to raise as much money as they could. With their donation, the students at Shalom now have four pieces of playground equipment installed. The Ugandan kids were so excited to try out their new playground, they were racing down the slide before everything was even cemented into the ground, Kinzinger said. Once the equipment was properly installed, the students were a little intimidated and clung tight to the handles as they played because, as Kinzinger said, it's all very strange for them. It seems almost like they are afraid as they are sitting there on the playground stuff, he said. Shalom Community School is in a very poor rural area in southeast Uganda, just north of Lake Victoria. Many of the students are orphans or come from families who cannot afford to send their children to school all year, Kinzinger said. The need is huge, he said. I thought it was just exceptional for kids in our area to understand the need in other parts of the world. Upwards Uganda raises money to meet other needs as well. But Kinzinger said playground equipment is an important part of childhood education and helped the Calvary students relate to those at Shalom. It was interesting for us to hear how something as simple as clean water and a playground could make such a big difference, Whistler said, noting how easy it could be to take these things for granted. Whistler and Kinzinger are hoping to work together on more fundraising projects in the future, including expanding the organization's well drilling or helping widows in need. I think it's been really exciting to learn about the Upwards Uganda ministry. It seems like they are doing a lot of good, Whistler said. I am convinced that this meaningful act of giving unselfishly will not only shape the kids at Mugona South in a positive way, it will also make a lifelong impact on the students at our school, he said. Police probe death of girl, 8. Authorities confirmed Monday they are investigating the death of an 8-year-old girl brought to a Twin City hospital last month. We are looking into the circumstances of the death of a young girl. We are working with other agencies and the investigation continues, said Normal Police Chief Rick Bleichner. The child, a third grader at Prairieland Elementary School on East Robb Road in Normal, was brought to Advocate Broman Medical Center January 25th and transferred to a Peoria hospital where she died. Peoria County Coroner Jamie Harwood said Monday his office is working with Normal Police on the child death investigation. At this point, we are in the preliminary part of the investigation, said Harwood. Authorities declined to disclose the child's identity or the circumstances surrounding her death. The Illinois Department of Children and Family Services is among the agencies working with police on the child death case, said Bleichner. Meanwhile, the child's father and stepmother have retained legal counsel, the Pantograph has learned. Bloomington defense lawyer Brendan Bukalski said he could not identify his clients by name, but confirmed he is representing them. Bukalski said the family also is awaiting autopsy and other test results. I don't believe there is any wrongdoing here. It sounds like a very tragic case. I'm confident the people will be cleared, said Bukalski. When asked why the father and stepmother have secured legal counsel, Bukalski said, anytime someone is being investigated, it's a good idea to have an attorney by your side. Hiring an attorney is not a consciousness of guilt, he added. Parents of other Prairie Land third graders received a letter from Principal Scott Peters after the girl's death, explaining that she passed away unexpectedly. Parents were provided with resources to help them discuss the matter with their children. Freezing rain possible in BN. First, we had loads of snow, then record-breaking cold, followed by above-normal temperatures. What's next? A potential coating of ice. Winter weather advisories for freezing rain were issued Monday by the National Weather Service offices in Lincoln and Chicago, in effect from 6 p.m. this evening until 6 a.m. Wednesday. The advisory includes McLean, Livingston, LaSalle, and Woodward counties in the Pantograph area. Scott Baker, a National Weather Service meteorologist in Lincoln, said Monday afternoon that Bloomington can expect about 0.1 of an inch of ice. Areas farther north and in the Peoria area could receive as much as 0.2 of an inch of ice, he said. Areas to the south, including Decatur, Lincoln, and Springfield, should get only rain, said Baker. The freezing rain is expected to cause slippery roads as the surface temperature hovers around freezing. By 9 or 10 in the morning on Wednesday, there should be no issue of icy roads as the temperature rises above freezing, Baker said. Salt will be able to effectively work at these temperatures to lessen the risk on the treated roads. The key factors are the surface temperature and the temperature just above the surface. Surface temperatures are expected to be close to freezing, with areas to the north falling into the upper 20s. A shift in the system could move the freezing rain farther north, but most of the models are showing Bloomington normal to be within the freezing rain area, said Baker. The latest road conditions can be found at 222.gettingaroundillinois.com. Wild fluctuations in the weather do happen frequently, especially in the winter time, noted Baker. But the area's recent peaks and valleys were more extreme than normal, thanks to a polar jet stream arriving from the northern plains and the upper Midwest, allowing cold temperatures to dive in, then a more tropical jet stream taking its place, he explained. The polar jet stream has pushed back up, and the area has entered a moist weather pattern, said Baker. We'll still have our cold temperatures slide through, said Baker, but forecasters are not expecting anything like Arctic sub-zero conditions experienced last week. But it will get much colder. After a high of 48 on Thursday, temperatures are expected to fall to 11 degrees overnight and only reach 19 on Friday before starting a slow warm-up. The forecast is similar for the Decatur area, including a rainy pattern with a high Tuesday of 39, but the low remaining above freezing at 36. Wednesday and Thursday we'll see highs of 51, then a forecast low of 13 on Thursday night, and a high on Friday of 22. The rainfall this week and recent snow melt also are causing area creeks, streams, and rivers to rise. The National Weather Service is advising people living along a river or in other flood-prone locations to keep up with the latest forecast. Today in history. Today is Tuesday, February 5th, the 36th day of 2019. There are 329 days left in the year. Today's highlight. On February 5, 1937, President Franklin D. Roosevelt proposed increasing the number of U.S. Supreme Court justices. The proposal, which failed in Congress, drew accusations that Roosevelt was attempting to pack the nation's highest court. On this day in 1917, Mexico's present constitution was adopted by the Constitutional Convention in Santiago de Querétaro. The U.S. Congress passed, over President Woodrow Wilson's veto, an act severely curtailing Asian immigration. In 1918, during World War I, the Cunard liner SS Tuscania, which was transporting about 2,000 American troops to Europe, was torpedoed by a German U-boat in the Irish Sea with the loss of more than 200 people. Thought for today, many excellent words are ruined by too definite a knowledge of their meaning. Written by Aileen Kilmer, American poet, 1888 to 1941. How time flies! 100 years ago, February 5th, 1919, the two new welcoming arches on the courthouse square were lit up for the first time last night. Passersby called them most attractive and very appropriate. The arches stand at the north and south entrances to the courthouse. 75 years ago, in 1944, the Gibson City American Legion Post called on the Ford County Draft Board to investigate five suspicious deferments of draft age men. In a resolution, the Legionnaires said the deferments amounted to draft evasion. The Draft Board plans to look into the matter. 50 years ago, in 1969, Bloomington Police got the order today. Don't engage in high-speed chases because there are bald tires on the squad cars. New cars are on order, but the chief said he did not want to put new tires on the old cars when they are about to be traded in. 25 years ago, 1994, the Ewing Arts Festival is leaving Ewing Manor, its home for the past 20 years. It has suffered through bad revenue and worse weather. The festival's new home will be the ISU Quad on homecoming weekend in October. Today's Flick Fact. Question. The TV ratings for Sunday Super Bowl were down, of a game that is usually the most watched TV show in an entire year. In fact, of the 10 highest-rated TV programs of all time, all but one have been a Super Bowl. Do you know the one show among the top 10 that was not a Super Bowl? And the answer is, of the 10 highest-rated TV programs in U.S. history, 9 have been Super Bowls, and the other was the finale of MASH, a series that ran 11 years and for the first 3 starred Bloomington Normal native son McLean Stevenson. The most watched TV program of all time is the 2015 Super Bowl that featured the New England Patriots beating the Seattle Seahawks, and the MASH finale ranks 9th. Trail east to go forward. Normal will proceed with a plan to tear down 3 buildings and erect a new structure on the east side of Uptown Circle, despite objections from the town's Historic Preservation Commission and others. The Normal City Council did not act on the Commission's January 8th recommendations to preserve 104, 106, and 108 East Beaufort Street, the proposed site of its 5-story Trail East building. On Monday, it was the last regular meeting before a 30-day window to pursue historic landmark status expires Friday. "We are sticking to the plan that we initiated," said Mayor Chris Coos after the meeting. The council signed off on plans for the development January 7th. Coos said the buildings will stay for a while anyway because Windy City Wieners is expected to stay open at 106 East Beaufort until the end of the Illinois State University school year in May. The town owns the buildings at 104 and 108 and will give them to the developer of the $30 million project along with $8.65 million in potential future property and sales taxes from the project. The building at 104 is in very bad shape and is not savable. 106 was sold by the owners to developer Bush Construction. 108 we have, but just because it's old doesn't make it historic, said Coos. Council candidate Karen Smith attended the meeting and asked to speak about the issue, but was blocked because Coos said the town does not allow public comment about topics not on the council's agenda. Coos noted the Illinois Attorney General's office has stood by the town's right to do so. Officials made other concessions following an unfavorable ruling from the same office on the town's public comment policy in 2017. Public comment is for the public to talk about items of business that were conducted, said Coos. That's why I turned it down. It was not an agenda item. Smith said in prepared comments provided to the Pantograph that she would like the county to take action to modify the Trail East plans to save the facades if the council is unwilling to preserve the entire structures in its gesture of good faith to the citizens of Normal who signed opposing petitions. I believe it is not unreasonable to ask the developer to bear the expense for this modification as a good faith gesture to the Normal townspeople, said Smith, referring to Bush, the Iowa company working to open the mixed-use building in summer 2020. As of Monday evening, 3,881 people had signed a change.org petition titled Save Our Murals, Save Our Money, in opposition to the project. Coos noted in October that the petition's description is rife with errors about Trail East, including what it will cost the town. Officials have noted the community mural on the site of 104 East Beaufort Street, which will be destroyed for the project, would be wiped away with regular maintenance of the building, regardless. ISU spring enrollment dips. Spring semester brought slight decreases in enrollment compared to a year ago at some area colleges and universities, such as Illinois State University, and increases at others, such as Illinois Wesleyan University. School officials tend to focus more on spring changes rather than fall to spring numbers because of the impact of such things as December graduations. We do have a large graduating class every fall term, said Jana Albrecht, ISU's Associate Vice President for Enrollment Management. Numbers are always a lot lower in spring. ISU has 19,521 students enrolled this spring, about a 1% decrease from last spring's enrollment. IWU saw its spring enrollment increase about 2.1% from 1,590 a year ago to 1,625 this spring. Lee Ann Hughes, IWU's Vice President of Enrollment and Marketing, said our largest class of first-year students in 5 years returned to campus earlier this month for spring semester. She added, in the spirit of our commitment to recruiting and retaining a diverse group of high-achieving students, we are excited to welcome back more than 95% of the first-year students who joined us in the fall. Albrecht said ISU will continue to study the numbers, looking closely at retention, new freshmen, transfers, and international students. We feel really good about next fall, she said. Applications are up and admits are up. Eastern Illinois University, recovering from recent devastating blows to its enrollment, had good news to report, with a nearly 7% increase in enrollment this spring compared to a year ago. EIU reported an enrollment of 7,503 this spring compared to 7,026 in 2018. Heartland Community College saw its headcount drop 2.3% from 5,029 in spring 2018 to 4,913 as of January 28th, and the number of credit hours generated from 43,484 a year ago to 41,424, a decline of 4.7%. The decline was projected in the budget assumption for the year, said President Keith Cornell. Although declines in enrollment have been seen across the state and nationally, the drop in enrollment is a concern that we must and are addressing, he said. A strategic enrollment management plan is being developed that will not only help shape enrollment strategies to reverse the enrollment trend, but also provide direction on the program mix necessary for serving our students and the workforce of tomorrow, he said. Lincoln College, which is in the midst of returning to its roots as a bachelor's degree granting institution, saw its spring enrollment tick up from 549 a year ago to 559 this year, an increase of about 2%. More than half of Lincoln College students have declared an intention to pursue a bachelor's degree. 364 students in the 2018-19 school year compared to 267 in the 2017-18, an increase of 36%. Eureka College has 500 students enrolled this spring, but did not provide figures for spring of 2018. President Jamel Santa Cruz Wright said, with a new Dean of Enrollment Management, Mac Ingmeyer, in place, as well as the uniquely Eureka Promise, which offers free tuition to qualifying transfer students from Illinois community colleges, we look forward to another strong fall class. Davis urges deal to avoid shutdown. U.S. Representative Rodney Davis learned a lot about what he already knew during a tour Monday of the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington. A partial government shutdown doesn't just impact people in Washington, D.C., who work in big concrete buildings on a regular basis, he said after completing the tour with the airport's executive director, Carl Olson. They are impacting people who work and live in our communities on a regular basis. It impacts people who rely on these services to travel to and from our community on a regular basis. The airport was the last of three stops Davis has made since Friday, visiting employees impacted by the government shutdown that started December 22nd and ended January 25th. The TSA agents do a great job, and speaking with the agents, I know they are going to do their job, he said. They are going to do what they signed up to do as TSA agents. That doesn't negate the fact that they ought to be able to get paid while they do it. They should not have to rely on communities to come together to give them the basic necessities like food. There are 33 full or part-time TSA agents who work at the airport, said Olson. There also are 6 air traffic controllers. We are very hopeful that we can avoid another government shutdown, Olson said. We are keeping our fingers crossed. Davis said, in talking with TSA agents, they expressed their frustration with the shutdown. It's an interesting time in Washington, Davis said. It's the first time I can remember, and the first time I would ever thought that a shutdown occurred at the end of one Congress and into a new Congress. Davis said even though only 25% of the government was not funded during the shutdown, those positions are very important. These are TSA agents. These are our Border Patrol agents. These are our air traffic controllers. These are folks who work at our national parks or at the National Historic Sites in Springfield and are so important to what the fabric of Springfield is, and the history of Illinois and how it relates to our country's history, he said. The 35-day shutdown, centered around a disagreement over border security between the Republicans and the Democrats. President Trump wants $5.7 billion to build a wall along part of the southern border. The deadlock ended when Trump lifted the shutdown, and the House and the Senate approved a plan to reopen the government for 3 weeks while the border talks continue. Davis urged Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi and Trump to come to a new agreement before a February 15th deadline to avoid another shutdown. I think another shutdown would be devastating, Davis said. It's only 25% of the government, but it's a very important 25%. TSA agents are leaving the forces right now. Our Border Patrol agents, those who we should rely on to find out what measures we should rely on to protect us, are leaving and are very important to our economy and our nation's security. A private company contracts the air traffic controllers, and the company paid the controllers through the shutdown. But that is not going to last forever, Davis said. The company will have to be reimbursed by the federal government in order to continue to do that. That's why it is imperative that the message gets out to get both sides to sit down and work a deal out. Teacher accused of rape wants evidence tossed. A jury should not hear evidence collected by police in their investigation of rape accusations involving a piano teacher, his lawyer argues in a motion questioning the legality of several search warrants. Aaron Parlier is charged with predatory criminal sexual assault, sexual abuse, and child pornography. Three of the six alleged victims are former students. Bloomington police began their investigation into alleged misconduct by the 37-year-old Pekin man in September 2017 after a teenage girl told authorities about her experience as Parlier's student. The girl started lessons when she was about six and continued until adolescence, according to an application for a search warrant affidavit filed by Bloomington police detective John Heinlein. As she got older, on several occasions, suspect Parlier had her play naked because he said it would help her with her stage fright before concerts, Heinlein wrote in a January 2018 search warrant request. Other students and minors also came forward to accuse Parlier of rape and molestation. A search of two residences, one in Mackinac and one in Bloomington, where Parlier may have lived prior to his arrest, followed the detective's interview of Parlier on December 5, 2017. Parlier admitted to an ongoing sexual relationship with a former student and to sending sexually explicit photos to a minor, according to the officer's statements filed in court. Parlier's attorney, Gal Pizetsky, argues the information provided to authorities should not be used because the 4 to 7 year gap between the alleged misconduct and its disclosure makes the information stale for legal purposes. The minor's theory that Parlier may have recorded the alleged sexual encounters was not sufficient cause to search his home for potential evidence of recordings, the defense argues. The search of a vehicle registered to the suspect's brother was illegal, according to the defense motion, because the state failed to show a connection between Parlier and the vehicle found near the location of his surrender to police. The BPD received an anonymous tip that Parlier was driving his brother's car. In the state's response, Assistant State's Attorney Erica Reynolds argues the staleness claims may apply to drugs or other consumable materials, but not to items seized in the Parlier case, including the photos and the sexually explicit material found on his computers. Area calendar. So on Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Bloomington Library Community Room, there will be an old-time fiddle jam. We've come now to the end of the first half hour of the Pantograph. We'll take a short break. Please stay tuned.